the tale of the two sons. Our focus this morning was the Father. Our focus this evening will be the sons. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. Anybody say two sons? Praise the Lord. A certain man had two sons. And we're going to talk about those two sons tonight. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. We didn't mention a whole lot this morning about the sons. Generally, when we preach from this parable, we focus primarily on the younger son. And I'd like to start with him tonight. We get a picture of him in his youth and his impetuousness. In the 12th verse, the younger of them said to his father, "Give me, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me." See, youth oftentimes is about getting. From the time that we're born, we receive. The first years of our life, we are so totally dependent on our parents. We couldn't survive without somebody to give us things. The very nourishment that keeps us alive, somebody has to furnish that. We have no way of taking care of ourselves. And if we're not careful, as we get older in life, we can still have that gimme spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I have known people that grow into adulthood and still maintain a gimme spirit. Give me this and give me that. And so he had the give me spirit. And his father was very patient and very kind and very generous. And he gave him not really the portion that belonged to him. Let me just tell you something here tonight. Nobody owes you anything. We live in a country where everybody is always talking about their rights, but seldom about their responsibilities. Amen. We have a responsibility to get a job and supply for ourselves. Learn how to do something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Learn how to do something. Get an education. And when you get an education, go to work. Take care of yourself. Provide for a family. Take care of others. Amen. In our teaching in Canton today, I mentioned the fact Jesus taught us to pray. He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." He did not say, "Give me my daily bread." What he's saying is, there's enough bread for everybody. But the problem is, we're too reluctant to share it. Amen. We want our daily bread, and we just want to hold on to it. And when we get that, we want some more. And we're never satisfied. God help us to get to the place that someplace we can say, "I've got enough. I need to share with somebody else. I need to give some of mine to somebody." Praise the Lord. Amen. I've seen the gimme spirit get a hold of people. And that's what happened to the younger son. He said, "Give me." Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. I think he already had it in his mind, don't you? And he took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He did not understand. Being in the father's house all of those years, watching how cautious and how wise his father was, but he still didn't get it. He still didn't get it. Let me just say, if your parents are wise, it doesn't mean that you will be. If your parents can handle money well, doesn't necessarily mean you will be able to, unless you apply yourself and humble yourself and learn. Most people don't have a real understanding of what it costs to live until they get out on their own. I remember the first time that we went to the grocery store after that we were married. It was quite a shock. My goodness gracious, I didn't know food cost that much. And you know what? I hadn't done anything but ascend ever since then. Amen. But it was quite a thing to realize I got to do that. Somehow I got to pay rent. Somehow I got to pay utilities. Amen. I mean, every time you go to the mailbox, there's more bills there. Good grief. When do these things ever stop? When you die? Until then, they just keep coming, and they have kids and grandkids. Amen. Every time you go, there's more of them. They multiply. And so bills, they're like the poor. They're with you always. You always have them. And so he wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, I don't know what all that entails. It doesn't give us any details. And he found himself in a situation that he never ever thought that he would be. It said, when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Now see, he never planned for a famine. There will be things that will come in life that you cannot and will not plan for. And they will hit you like a tidal wave. And if you don't have a foundation, they'll shake you. He began to be in want. Everybody say in want. Amen. He really was desperate. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, for a Jewish boy, that's as low as he could go. There was nothing lower to the Jew than a pig. And he found himself feeding pigs. And he would fain, the Bible said, have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Nobody helped him out. Nobody stepped in. Nobody gave him anything. He was desperate. And I love this next portion. He said, and when he came to himself. I maintain that sin's just a little bit of insanity. And people go just a little bit crazy when they get into sin. Sin will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. It will keep you longer than you intended to stay. It will take you further than you ever intended to go. It will strip you and take from you, and it will destroy you. And so he found himself, and he came to himself, and he got to thinking. He said, in my father's house, servants, my fathers have enough bread and bread to spare, and here I am perishing with hunger. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you see the change in attitude? He said, man, he said, even the servants got it better in my daddy's house than I got it over here. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise and go to my father. And I will say to my father, listen to what his plan is. He said, I have sinned. But say, I've sinned. I have sinned against heaven and against thee, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So you see, he got rid of the gimmies, didn't he? When you get ready to come to God, you've got to get rid of that owe me spirit and the spirit of selfishness. Amen. And instead of the give me spirit, now he has the make me spirit. Mold me spirit. Help me to become what you want me to be, Spirit. Change me, Spirit. Don't leave me the way that I am, Spirit. He has now been willing to be transformed. And when you get that spirit and attitude and that brokenness, then God can do something great with your life. And so he rises. The Bible said he arose and came to his father. Amen. We talked about this morning, while he was a great way off, his father ran and threw himself on his neck with a big old hug, and he kissed him and received him into his house, and he gave him the best robe, and he put a ring on his finger, and he put shoes on his feet, and he killed a fatted calf. And there was rejoicing, and there was dancing, and there was music, and there was merriment in the father's house. Praise the Lord. Great homecoming. Hallelujah. Happy reunion. Now, I want to talk a few moments about the other son. He doesn't get as much attention. Look at verse number 25. Said, now, the elder son was in the field. Everybody say, in the field. Elder son was in the field. Amen. Thank God for those folks that stay in the field. There are prodigals, we call them, or those that wander away. But thank God for those that stay in the field. Thank God for those that show up. Amen. For service week after week. Thank God for those that faithfully, financially support the church so that we keep the doors open. Thank God for those that faithfully are in the altars praying and in the pews worshiping and in the pulpits preaching. Thank God for the faithful. Thank God for those that are in the field. But the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. And he heard music and dancing, called one of the servants and said, what does this mean? And his servant said, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, because he's received him safe sound. Amen. Now, that should have been enough to send the elder brother running into the house. Amen. Looking for his brother. Where are you, brother? Amen. We've been praying for this. We've been looking for this. We've been so excited. You've made us so happy now that you're home. But that's not what he did, Brother Bacon. Listen, it's such an odd thing. The Bible said, and he was angry. But it said he was angry. Why in the world? He was angry. And he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Good old dad. Left the party, left the joy and the fun and the laughter, and went out to his son and began to talk to him, saying, son, he's home. Isn't that great? We've been praying a long time. He's home now. Praise the Lord. I want you to hear that. You got to be careful that you don't get possessive. When we have growth, like God wants to give growth, and like we're believing for growth, things change. Everybody say change. I heard this. I believe it's true. The only human that likes change is a baby with a wet diaper. He wants change. Most people do not accept change well. Change means somebody might challenge your position. Somebody might get your seat. You might actually have to look for a new place to sit. Let me ask you a question tonight. Can you worship anywhere in the church? Amen. If you're forced out of your pew, it won't ruin your spirit and your attitude. You'll just find you another place. Amen. It actually happened one time. Somebody came in this church one service. There was a visitor sitting in their place, and they asked him to move. That's the elder brother spirit. I said, that's the elder brother spirit. Amen. You don't ask somebody to move out of your place. It's not your place. Oh, brother, I've been sitting here 30 years, but it's still not your place. You got a place in the church. You want your place? Get here earlier. Meet the crowd. Amen. Right room, but I'm telling you, I'm believing it won't be long. We won't have. Praise the Lord. I believe God wants to give revival. Hey, I believe God, Sister Elaine Washington, I believe with you tonight, I believe God's going to send folks home. I've been praying for backsliders, and there's literally hundreds, how many, Sister? Over 700 that you counted, and that's just one person counting. Sister McGee counted over 700 people that were in this church. That's a potential revival, 700 people right there. And that's not counting their families, their husbands and their wives and their kids, and by now their grandkids and great-grandkids. Can you see a revival on the horizon tonight? Can you see what God could do? Can you see how you could lose your pew? Amen. Praise God, but we can't allow that to happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We may have to share some other things, you know, and we've got to be willing to do that. And so the Bible said the father went out and he entreated him, and he answered his father. Listen to how he talks to his dad. He said, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee." Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I'm so thankful again for people that are faithful in the fields. But be careful. Be careful. Don't let this elder brother spirit get a hold of you. He said, "Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." He said, "I've always been faithful to you, Daddy." Thank God for those that have always been faithful. I appreciate people that have always been faithful. They never bobble one time. My sweet little mother-in-law is 95 years old. She's had the Holy Ghost over 70 years. That's faithfulness. And she's been faithful that whole 70 years plus. My mom had the Holy Ghost over 70 years. And she never backslid. She always was just faithful. Just kept plowing on. Amen. When church was good, she was faithful. When they were struggling, she was faithful. When they had a pastor, she was faithful. When they didn't have a pastor, she was faithful. Thank God for faithfulness. And there's some in this church just the same. You're faithful through the years, and you're still here tonight through the ups and the downs. And the outs, you've been faithful. And I so very much appreciate that tonight. Amen. And he said, "Yet you never gave me a kid." Now listen, a kid, of course he's talking about a goat, a young goat. "You never gave me a young goat." Now I want you to listen to what he's saying. He's having a pity party here. He's saying, you killed a fatted calf for my brother. But you never even gave me as much as a little skinny goat. That's dripping with self-pity. Poor me. Poor me. This is the thanks I get for being faithful all these years. Huh? Well, son, you've dined sumptuously every day. You've had T-bone any time you wanted it. You've been in the Father's house all this time. You've always had a comfortable bed to sleep in. You've never been tempted to eat the husk, and you've never had to slop the hogs. You've always had it good. Maybe you're forgetting where you've been these last years. Amen. Praise the Lord. God help us never to get resentful or petty about the blessings of God and to realize how blessed we have been all of these years. God has rewarded you for your faithfulness. You've had joy and peace and righteousness and abundant blessing and healing and salvation and security all these years. Amen. But he forgot all of that. He said, you never even gave me a kit that I might make merry with my friends. He said, but as soon as this, he doesn't call him his brother. He said, thy son was come. When you can't call somebody your brother and love them, you got some things you need to work through. Hello? You've got some unforgiving issues in your life. And if you don't work on unforgiveness, it becomes bitterness. And the Bible said a root of bitterness, when it grows, many have failed thereby. So you got to watch out for unforgiveness. And as soon as you start feeling unforgiving to somebody, you need to focus on that until you can pray through and forgive and get over it. Well, that's good preaching right there, Brother Grisham. That'll help save my soul. Amen. That's not real popular, and it might not be what you want to hear. We usually want to hear somebody saying, I know how bad you got it, and I agree with you. They're scoundrels. Oh, they're horrible people. But that's not what we're going to say. Amen. Because every one of us here, we're clothed with this stuff right here. It's called flesh. Everybody here's got it. And all of you are going to mess up sometimes. Amen. You will. Praise God. And when you do, you want folks to be patient and kind and forgiving to you. Yes, you do. Shake your head like this right here. That's right, Brother Grissom. Amen. I feel bad if people don't forgive me. Then you forgive somebody else. Don't you harbor something in your heart against somebody. Can you see what he's doing here? He's got something in his heart. He's got resentment against his brother. He's feeling bad because his brother left and he got stuck at home. He said, your son, not my brother, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, there you killed for him the fatted calf. Now, I read this many, 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 many times, and I've never seen one time a mention here about harlots anywhere except right there. Could it be that the elder son was harboring some things in his heart? Could it be that while he was working in the field, his mind was where his brother was? Could it be that while he was faithful in the father's house, his heart was far from him? Could it be that this resentment was coming from the fact that in his mind, in his spirit, he was living vicariously through his brother somewhere, imagining what his brother was doing and knowing what he would be doing if he was there? Amen. It can happen. You can sit on a church pew and be out in the world somewhere. You can go to hell from a Pentecostal pew. You can be lost sitting on a Pentecostal pew. You can sing special songs and in the choir and still be lost. If you got things in your heart like this man had, apparently there's some issues here. And so you see his spirit and you see his attitude. Now listen to what the father said. He said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. I'm telling you tonight, when you and I come to church, if we don't get everything we need, it's nobody's fault but our own. If you come in this house and leave here without a blessing, don't blame your brother, and don't blame your sister, and don't blame your pastor. Amen. You got to blame yourself, because all that he has is yours. Healing is yours. Salvation is yours. Blessing is yours. Strength is yours. Provision is yours. Peace and joy and righteousness and Holy Ghost power and victory, they're ours tonight. Everything the Father has belongs to you and me. And if I don't avail myself of it, I have nobody to blame but myself. He said, all that I have is all yours. Amen. How generous our Father is tonight. Amen. You know, that's the privilege of a son, isn't it? I wouldn't do this at your house. Amen. But you know what? It's been a while since my mom and dad been gone. They've been gone a long time. But I remember when I used to go home. When I went home, do you know where the first place was that I went to? After I hugged mama and hugged daddy, I went to the kitchen. And I looked on the table. And if I didn't see anything on the table, I went to the refrigerator. Amen. I opened that buddy up, see what was in there. Amen. If there was a coconut pie on the table, I went over and I got in the cabinet. And I knew where the plates were. And I got a plate down and I went over to the silverware drawer because I knew where that was. And I opened that, a fork out of there and a knife. And I went over where that pie was. I didn't have to ask. All I had to do was cut that buddy and slap it on that plate and sit down and open my mouth and enjoy because I was a son and I was at home. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, elder, tonight, if you're not enjoying the Father's house, it's nobody's fault but your own. You know where the table is. You know where the refrigerator is. You know where the plates are. You know where the silverware is. Dig in. Amen. Enjoy. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, everything I got's yours. And then he says, it was meet, or it was right that we should make. Note that word we. Did you get that? That we should make merry and be glad. He not apologize to his son. He said it's the right thing. And then he includes his son. He says that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, he didn't call him my son. He said your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And so he's saying, hey son, let's get over the pity party. Let's get to the party. Amen. Let's get in there and let's start rejoicing. Hallelujah. Let's kick up our heels a little bit. Let's dance a little while. Let's eat some fatted calf. Let's enjoy this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's some valuable things here tonight that you and I can glean from the sons. Amen. And from the Father. Praise the Lord. I want to be a good elder. I don't, as somebody prayed years ago, they said, Lord, as I get older, don't let me grow colder. Amen. I have had some wonderful elders in my life that showed me that as you get older, you can still have the fire. Amen. I have one of my great teachers. He's in his 90s now. And I talked to him on the phone a while ago, and he was telling me he broke his hip and he got in a nursing home or in a recuperation place, and he's recuperating there. And he said, there are these people here need me. He said, I'm gonna get out and start visiting, preaching here in a little bit. Amen. Praise 90-something years old, but he hadn't lost that zeal, hadn't lost that desire. Amen. Not focused on himself, focused on other people. I got to get out of here as soon as I can. He said, they want me to do some preaching here. Amen. And he's still got it, I'm telling you. Though he's 90 years old, he's still got some zip and some zeal. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Urshan came and preached for us in Columbia when he was in his 80s. And he ministered under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. He hadn't lost anything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our special friend and mentor, I love Brother C.M. Becton. Every time I ever saw Brother Becton, he was a Christian. Amen. He was always worship. He was a worshiper. He loved to worship God. Amen. Up until the day that he went to be with the Lord, he loved to worship God. He never lost that. Hallelujah. Hey, I want to always have that. How about you tonight? Amen. I never want to get to the place where I don't want to worship God. Amen. I don't want to get to the place where I may not be able to make as much noise. And it might hurt when I clap my hands. I may not be able to slap them quite as hard. Hadn't got there yet, but it might happen someday. Amen. But that's all right. Slap them anyhow. Clap them anyway. Praise the Lord. I might not be able to stand as long or dance as long or jump as high or run as fast. But God help me to have my zeal. Hallelujah. As long as there's breath in my body, help me to have a desire to worship you in liberty. Because he's deserving tonight. Not about me. It's all about him. And help me, God, not to get to the place where... And I know what happens. I know what happens. I understand life. When you're so used to being on the front lines, and life robs you of your abilities to continue doing the things that you've always loved to do, and you've always been a part of. You don't retire. But you have to redirect. You just can't do it anymore. Want to, but you just can't. God help me in that season of life. You know, to still understand that I'm not on a shelf. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not on a shelf. Praise the Lord. There's still people that need to hear the gospel. I may not have a pulpit to preach in, but there's still people that need to hear. There's still nursing homes and facilities, hospitals, prisons, jails, all across the United States of America where people need to hear the gospel. Hello. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I still have a place to preach. I still have a place to minister. I still have a place that I can be a blessing. And if I can't do that, amen, but Brother Grissom, what if I can't even get out of the house anymore? You can go around the world on your knees. And if you can't get on your knees, get in your rocking chair. It's okay to rock and pray. You don't have to kneel and pray. You can rock and pray. You can recline and pray. You can lay in bed and pray. You can touch heaven anywhere you are. Amen. If you can lift up your voice with faith, you can have an effect on the world. Amen. So God help us today. Amen. As we get older, let's continue to serve the Lord with fervency and with faithfulness. And don't let anything get in our way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know that there's change. There'll always be change. When you were young, the elders said, things are not like they used to be. Now you're older and you're saying things are not like they used to be. They can't be. The world's not like it used to be. Anybody notice any changes lately? My Lord have mercy, the changes that have taken place. Amen. And it's not our world anymore, Brother Baker. This is not my world. Amen. I got an iPad though. And I can turn it on. I'm trying to hang in there. I still write stuff down when I preach, though. Amen. And I do it real funny because when I get in my thoughts, I don't get on the computer. I write them down. I grab me some paper and I get a pen and I get to work. Amen. And then I get over the computer and I look up the verses and I print them out. Because I don't want to write them out. I print them out. That's a lot faster. So I'm not completely in the computer world. I'm not completely left the old behind. I like both of them. Amen. Somebody said, can I see your notes? Well, there they are. If you like Scripture, that's what it is. It's got from Luke 15, 11 to 32. You're welcome to it, or you got it right in your Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you see, but I don't get older. I don't want to understand that change must come. Has to come. Because this is not my world anymore. Thank God I didn't create this mess. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't want to be blamed for this. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you see, but God has raised up young people and young adults that know how to function in this world. And this is the world that they must reach. And they can be effective. I said it earlier, I'm going to say it again. Brother, we can still do things today we never could do. Amen. We're still getting requests from our website, from people all around the world. We have people calling and had a guy, France or Germany, just this last week. Amen. He wants to talk with us. He wants some help. He wants somebody to counsel with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. All the way on the other side of the world, we have opportunity to minister. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. We have opportunities to minister in places that we could never have gotten to before. Praise the Lord. There is no curtain anymore that can keep the gospel out. Praise the Lord. Do you know what? I can envision the day when this church right here will have a 24-hour radio station. Amen. Internet radio station. And we'll be able to preach and sing 24 hours. I'll never shut up. Praise God. You know, we can do that. It's in our grasp. It's available today. If we had the money, we could start doing it tomorrow. Plus, we've got to have somebody to do it. I don't have time to do that and do what I need to be doing. But I'm just telling you tonight, the world is full of opportunities. Greater than it's ever been before. This is a great hour to be alive. Amen. Everybody say alive. Everybody say alive. A great hour to be alive. Not existing, but alive. Praise the Lord. I don't believe the church is dying. I believe the church is on the rise. I believe the church is on the march. Amen. I believe the church is stronger. Hallelujah. I believe the church is more numerous. I believe the church is more powerful. Yeah, there's been changes. There will be. We can't stop that. But we got a great church. Amen. And I don't want to lose that. I know I'm an elder, but I don't want to lose that. I want to stay focused on the future. The Lord bless you. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope and I pray that elder son was able to get it together and go in that house and go up to his young brother, amen, and get a hold of him, embrace him, and hug him, and welcome him home, amen, and say, brother, there's a place for you here. Amen. There's a place for you in the field. There's a place for you at the table. Amen. There's a place for you here. Amen. And that's what I want us to do, folks. Whenever God begins to send folks in, I want us to be sure and tell them, hey, there's a place for you here. You're wanted here. You're loved here. Help us to get you plugged in here. Amen. Let's get you a place that you can worship. Let's get you a place that you can serve. Let's get you a place that you can be happy and fulfilled. Amen. Praise God. Let's plug them in. Hallelujah. Let's make it almost impossible for them to back out. Hallelujah. God help us today. Amen. Master, thank you for this parable of the two sons. It paints a picture for us, and one that we can clearly see two sides. We can see what we need to do, and that is to be a repentant son. And then we can see that if we're not careful, we can become a reluctant and a resentful son. I don't ever want that to happen to me. So God, help me always to love my brother. Don't ever let me get anything in my heart or my spirit against a brother or sister. Amen. I know that there are disappointments in life, but I don't ever want to get anything in my heart against somebody. I just can't allow that to happen. Amen. Help me, Lord, to stay right. Help me to stay prayed up. Help me to stay pure. Help me to stay excited. Help me to stay faithful. Help me to be a son of God. Yeah, I pray in Jesus' name, in these last days, in this closing hour, help me, Lord, to stay focused. Don't let me let my mind wander now. Don't let me get any kind of resentment in my heart against anybody for anything. But help me to stay pure and right and in love with God and in love with my brothers and sisters, in love with the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lead me and guide us, God. Help us and send us, O Lord, a revival of souls today. I so appreciate the wonderful Spirit of God that's in this house. But help us, Lord, now to bring others in so that they also, as they come in, they can find a place. We'll make a place. Hey, I'll scoot over. Amen. We'll have some close fellowship. But help us, God, to fill this place with prodigals. Amen. With lost brothers and sisters. With backsliders coming home. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're so good to us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around.